Hey, what's up? It's the Raptor Show. It's Blake Murphy. It's Matt Bonner. A couple more of these for you. Monday, currently scheduled to be the last day. The Raptors will play their third to last game tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. What
fan,
a treat.
Fan appreciation night.
Sure.
Great fans.
Yeah, that part is absolutely true.
No, I mean, I'm serious. I told you, I've always said, even when I played here, we won like 30 games both years, and it was still a packed house every game. The city has the teams back, up or down.
Yeah, and the crowds have been, you know, obviously when they were 8-31, it was maybe not even disappointment, but like apathy sets in at a certain point, right? And the crowds just like were a little more quiet.
Funny you bring that up.
But then they really came around. I want to say like it wasn't the specific turning point, but I remember the Warriors game where they beat, like Steph was there and they pull out the game at the very end and the crowd was crazy. And then it seemed like it just snapped everyone back to like, oh yeah, we're one of the best crowds, if not the best crowd in the NBA. Let's roll with this, even if the team's, you know, hey, not winning as much. And when they do win, half of us are frustrated at it. It's been pretty good. It's been good to see. It's nice to see, because like you said, when you were here, you guys didn't win a lot of games and the crowd had a good reputation. And then, you know, 2015, 2016, 2013, 2014 against the Nets was the really big one. But then as you kind of build up, you know, like KD's getting interrupted by the crowd during an interview after the game, LeBron's shouting out the crowd, things like that. And then you get to the championship and obviously, you know, what everyone in basketball had known for a long time, this is one of the best crowds in basketball, was like there for everyone to see. But you just like, you hope that once the team gets not good again, that still sustains, right? And yeah. I think it has. And I'm excited for that to come back next year when everything, you know, matters a little bit more again.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny you bring up the apathy thing, because there was like reverse apathy on the Spurs, in my opinion, during the regular season, where you become apathetic when the team loses a lot. Mm-hmm. I think you become apathetic when the team wins a lot. I swear
to
God.
The playoffs.
Because like during Tim Duncan's entire career, they always won 50 games. So like everyone on the Spurs just expected that level of excellence, in the crowd. And as a result, the regular season games at times would get a little mundane and apathetic, in my opinion, because it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to win.
Yeah, and like you're not being measured by what happens in the regular season, right? Everyone's like, well, we know that we're going to get to the playoffs.
Right, exactly. So like we don't really need to show out to get to the playoffs. We're going to get there anyway. We'll be ready for that.
Yeah, which is tough. Obviously, that's a nice place to be in terms of like competitiveness and how confident you are in your team and stuff like that. But yeah, a little tougher, I guess, day to day. I don't think my experience from like the 2013 to 2020 run is we will not run into that here. Everyone seemed, even post championship to run it back here.
Well, that's 6 years. The Spurs, it was like 20 years.
I know,
like 20 years.
Yeah.
But I
haven't covered the team for 20 years.
You said that, but like imagine you're in year 16 of that.
Yeah,
that
I don't know.
You might hit that.
I don't know. Well, I would love to be in year 16 of we're a title contender every single year. I would love to evaluate that problem when we get there 16 years from now. That'd be great.
Yeah. You're going to curling tonight, right?
I am.
We got the curling jersey behind me over my
left shoulder. Yes, the Charlie boys.
That's right. The Scottish team, world champs.
Okay, I have to do a map honor for a second.
Okay.
This is not basketball or curling related. I just need to put something out there for the audience. If anyone knows of batting cages in downtown Toronto, please let me know. I have been looking relentlessly and it seems like I'm going to have to go to like Vaughan or Thornhill or something to like an actual baseball training facility. I don't need that. I don't need someone to tell me my mechanics are off and stuff. I just want to put like a Looney or a Toonie in the machine and take some hacks before slow pitch season starts. If you know of one downtown, please let me know.
How hard is it to build a batting cage like in your backyard?
Well, I don't have a backyard. I live in an apartment building.
I do. Maybe I want to take some.
I don't think
cuts.
It would be that hard to build. I think like it's the same as building a chain link fence in any backyard, which is, I don't think, all that difficult. I'm trying to think back. We built a fence in my dad's backyard when I was in like grade 7 or grade 8, but that was like a wood plank fence. So I don't know how much tougher it would be for like a chain link fence with a roof on it. The bigger thing would be like a pitching machine is probably expensive.
Yeah, but I'm sure I could go to the Blue Jays and be like, listen, I know you replace these every couple years. When you're getting rid of them, don't throw it out. I'll buy it off you and see if I can get a deal.
All right. I don't have a backyard or that kind of ball. I also don't want to hit off 85 miles, 90 miles an hour. I just want a nice little lob in so I can,
you can adjust
get some
it,
hacks.
No?
Yeah. I don't know actually if you can adjust the like major league caliber ones to be like that bad. It might be a different like, rotator.
But thing. Like the NBA, they use the shooting gun.
Yeah.
You can adjust the shooting gun to any range. You don't have to shoot NBA threes. So I'm assuming a pitching machine is the same
thing. You just slow down the spinny things. Hopefully. We'll figure it out.
And can you fit a softball in there?
Yes, that would be the bigger thing.
Yeah.
You might have to recalibrate it or get a different machine. Okay, we're going to talk to J.E. Skeets a little bit later in the show. Right now, though, we got Garrett Temple for what I believe will be his last one of the year, and he's driving. How we doing, Garrett?
Not driving. My wife's driving. So let's put that out there.
Sorry. Is
that the new pimp mobile?
This is it, man. This is the new Temple mobile. Yes, sir.
Sick.
Are those new glasses, too? Are we just all brand new today?
Nah, these glasses I've had for a while, you can tell because they're so crooked.
Okay.
My wife gets on me about them all the time, but nah, I just, a little chill day, late shooter on, so we're going, I don't have to put my contacts in just yet.
Sweet. You need some Just for Men for that beard, though. It happens when you get in your upper 40s.
I got a little bit of it, too.
Hey, man, come on. We're the same age, Blake. That's why Matt is probably, 55 now? So he just colors his beard. Everybody knows he's not. He should have gray, but he colors it. So it's like it's just already.
Well, redheads don't go gray. We go white, Garrett. Fun fact
this
for you.
This is true. I think everybody goes white, and we just call it gray.
Yeah. Another fun fact. Garrett, did you know what team won the national championship in basketball two nights ago?
Yes. That was the only reason that I was, not excited about getting on today, because I knew you were going to bring up Florida. They showed Al a lot during the game. I saw Torian Green on the sideline, coaching the team. Two guys that I've battled with for 2 years while I was in college, and then I was going to come see that that dingy Florida hat on your head, and I knew you were going to be talking a lot of stuff. So that's what I wasn't looking forward to.
It's not dingy.
All of that. Congratulations to the Florida Gators. I did text your coach Billy Donovan and tell him congrats though on the Hall of Fame and then on the championship from his former team.
Well, that's very classy of you. This is not a dingy hat; it's vintage, and you should have been rooting for the Gators because we're representing the SEC.
This is true, but I did have a teammate that was at Houston, and he had some sentimental things. He was hurt last year, and wasn't able to make it through. And Houston's an underdog, you know what I'm saying? I wanted Kelvin Sampson to win. He recruited me. He was the first letter I got when he was at Oklahoma. I had some other things involved with Oklahoma.
You're a traitor.
With Houston.
What a traitor.
I love the SEC. Who knows? You never know. Houston might be in the SEC. They're closer to,
that's a good point.
Louisiana than a lot of other SEC teams, that's for sure.
That's a good point. We should recruit Houston for the SEC. Keep making it stronger.
We already had, 8 or 9 teams in the tournament this year?
14.
Yeah. 14?
Yeah, it was a record.
We should kick out Vanderbilt and bring in Houston. That's my hot take.
Sure.
That's my SEC hot take. Why is Vanderbilt in the SEC? It doesn't make any sense.
To raise our GPA.
I guess so, but we already have the Harvard of the South in Florida. Do we really need two schools at that elite academic level?
I could have sworn the Harvard of the South was Tulane, which is in Louisiana.
No, it's not.
Taking Tulane.
Tulane's like the Columbia of the South.
Gainesville is not the Harvard of the South. No way.
Not Gainesville, the University of Florida.
Y'all are a good school, but no, not Harvard of the South. I've never heard that.
I feel like you're the Arizona State of the East more than the Harvard of the South.
That's Florida State. That's Florida State, not Florida. You're confusing the two.
I just picked the biggest party school I could.
People don't know.
No.
Florida is like if you can't get into Florida, then you go to like Miami or Florida State.
It's true. You were academic All-American multiple times. Of the year, yeah.
Twice.
Two times.
Yep.
Okay, Garrett, so how's Jamal doing, by the way? You talked to him after that? I know he booked it after that Sunday game to get to San Antonio for the final. At least RJ and Brandon got to wear the Houston jerseys today at the game, at least.
I don't think RJ's wearing the jersey. I think RJ bet with Quentin Grimes a little money, and Jamal was like, I'm not getting no,
Okay.
But, yeah. B.I. definitely has to wear the Houston jersey. Make sure y'all stay tuned on Instagram for B.I.'s fit to the game today.
Well, but, I know.
He's okay, man. He feels bad about it. They didn't get a last shot up. That's a tough way to lose.
Well, Houston didn't get a shot up their last three possessions. And everyone knows not to bet with Garrett because he doesn't pay up.
There was no reason. I had no dog in the fight. So nobody's betting.
Yeah, he's still on about the sandwiches,
Garrett's
though. He was talking about
sandwiches for like 6 months.
When you know, I'm gonna drive to y'all's studio when the season's over and personally deliver the sandwiches. How about that? So Matt, text me the order. When the season's over, you're gonna text me the order and I'm gonna personally drive and deliver the sandwiches. Can we get that on film?
It's on film right now.
All right, I'm saying with the delivery of the sandwiches. You tell me what time I need to come so it can be on film.
Yeah,
and then you can get off my head about it.
Amit's listening right now. So our last show is Monday, but I'm here every day, so I just move over to Blue Jays.
I have a membership. I can come work out.
Yeah, exactly.
Monday, what time? Because I'll be free Monday. I have exit meetings, and then after that.
We'll be here, man. Show's 11 to 12, and then Matt and I usually hit the gym together after. We'll be here.
Okay, say less. We'll make sure we video record that. How about we do that?
All right, that'd be fun.
I'll believe it when I see it. I don't want you're going to go on AI and get like ChatGPT to create a fake Garrett delivering sandwiches video.
Wow, I need to go to Florida to learn how to do that. I'm not that smart yet.
Garrett, what is Monday like for you? Like, I'd imagine there's a lot going on locker cleanout day. You know, guys have physicals and literally clean out your locker. You do the media availability and stuff like that. You've done a lot of these, pretty much just like come in and not even like get a sweat, just come in, get your stuff, say goodbye to everyone and bounce?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, locker cleanout day is, you know, the only people that really are cleaning out their lockers are the guys that know for sure they won't be back next year. And the guys that are leaving, you know, the next day, 2 days later. So I will be here because kiddos in school still and we enjoy Canada that much. Seriously, get a few rounds of golf in. And honestly, most importantly, our daughter has to get her paperwork and her passport and stuff. So we'll be here probably until early June. And so I won't be cleaning out my locker. But, you know, you say hey to everybody. You know, you do your exit meeting. You say bye. But honestly, the young guys will see each other in 3 weeks, more than likely. And the older guys, we'll definitely stay in touch, you know, with the group chat and things of that nature. And we'll obviously get together probably in July, if not before that. But I'll be here and I'll be working out. So my locker will not be cleaned out come Monday.
Good luck with the golf between now and early June, man. I don't know if you want to be out there in this kind of temperature.
Man, I need to get it in because I'm playing in the pro-am, the RBC Canadian Open Pro-Am. So I got to get a few rounds in. Friends of mine are going. We are going to St. George, Utah to play for a few days in May. So I know for sure I'll be able to get some rounds in then. But hopefully it warms up pretty quick. This below zero weather is not what's up.
If you need a confidence boost and want to make you feel good about your golf game, you can invite me. I'm around too. And you'll be like, oh, after golfing with Matt, I'm going to take the championship here.
Be the first guy to eat a foot-long sandwich on the golf course.
Hey, if I break 120, I'm happy.
Wow.
That's where I'm at. Yep.
What are you like mid 70s, high 70s, Garrett, when you're going?
I'm mid 80s.
Okay.
Mid 80s, low 80s. I've shot high 70s before, but in general, I'm low to mid 80s. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
When I get to the end of the summer, I can touch the 70s and then basketball starts up again. So that goes away.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense that it works that way.
If I break 100, like I'd probably quit golf and have that be my last memory.
You're like, I mastered it. On to the next thing.
Yeah. I think the best I ever shot was 87. And then I was like, you know what? I'm probably not touching this ever again. Then that's when I was golfing like 2-3 times a week when I had a real job and didn't have to be, you know, was at the arena and the ball, but didn't live downtown Toronto where it's outside my price range to golf three times a week.
Simulator.
Yeah. I live in an apartment in downtown Toronto. That would take up my entire apartment.
They have simulator places.
I know. Yeah. Garrett, non-golf related, you were mic'd up on a Sportsnet broadcast the other game. How much extra, like, was that a real window into what your chatter's like during the game? Or you, like, turn it up or turn it down because you knew you were mic'd up?
Nah, I probably turned it down a little bit in terms of what I was saying. But, like, what they caught me talking to Cole about, I'd actually, you know, already said that I was going to tell him that. And then they told me. I was mic'd up. They reminded me, and I was like, "Oh, I guess they're gonna get this." And but I what is it? Oh, okay. So the rest of it was pretty, you know, regular. I didn't have any extra things. I usually dance just like that. You know what I'm saying? I talked to the guys on the bench. I usually talk to James, Wade, our coach, Coco, a little more. But other than that, everything was pretty straightforward.
I have to give you a thank you on behalf of friends of mine. And you have no idea that this happened, but friends of mine in a band called Fake Shark, they were the video, like going into a commercial break for the game the other day, or to set up the next game or whatever. And the song is called Bang, Bang, Bang. And there's a clip of you when you're mic'd up on the sideline yelling bang, bang. And it worked like perfectly with the song, with the little video package they did. Thank you for just, without even knowing it, lining up perfectly with the little song for the Sportsnet video package.
No problem. That's shout out to Mike Breen. I say that when our guys, like right before our guys make a three, if I think it's going on, I stand up, I walk to the scores table. If there's something on the end, and yo, bang. And more times than not, we've been making a good amount of threes, especially if James can battle shoot that thing.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of threes and you being mic'd up, you did, the cameras did capture that moment you had with Cole Swider, kind of tell him, hey, man, you're a freshman in high school, you're a senior in high school, like let it go, just shoot. What kind of made you want to do that for him, and how receptive has he been to the chats you've had with him? Obviously, life as a 10-day is a life, you know, but it's a tough one.
So that's exactly why, it's not an easy life, pressure wise. You understand you're not playing for just the team you're on, but you're playing for everybody else. You're playing for your career. You're trying to make a name, and I've been there before multiple times, obviously. So because of that, I knew he was struggling. He's a shooter, and shooters are supposed to make shots. You know, like it's difficult when you're a shooter and you're not showing that you can do the skill that you're supposed to be able to do. So I wanted him to just relax. I think that he was thinking too much, no pun intended. And, I just wanted him to let him know that he just needs to hoop. Just think about when he's younger, think about when he was a freshman in high school, the junior or senior in high school, and he just played basketball. And I remember his first shot was a pump fake, and the coaching staff was like, shoot it. And he got to a one dribble pull up and he made it. And I was like, he just got to get his rhythm. And then he made the next three, and then made another one, I think. So it was just just trying to let him know that to relax, play basketball. We've been doing it our whole life.
Six for his last 10 on three, so it's
great advice. Yeah, no, it is great advice. It's a lot of pressure, and when you see anyone out there, if you see someone you know can shoot and they're pressing, overthinking, like Garrett said, it's just those simple visualization technique. Go back to where you're in your natural, most comfortable element, and it just like calms your mind so you can shoot clear-minded, because you don't want to be thinking. You want to be reacting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You want to be in that flow state.
Yeah, which probably easy after you see a couple drop.
Like when
Garrett's, when you're 0 for the game before or whatever, and you don't know if your 10 days getting picked up a second time, yeah. Probably a little easy, exactly. A little tougher to flow.
The last day of the 10-day, the last game of the 10-day, and you haven't been able to shoot, that's tough, man. It's yeah. Crazy. So
and that's,
I've been in that spot before.
That's my advice to you, Garrett, when you're in the Pro-Am, pretend you're back at Baton Rouge Municipal Golf Course. Whenever you
LSU,
started golfing,
LSU golf course.
Yeah, and
LSU
just
golf course,
and just
Park golf course.
Just be the ball, Danny. Be the ball.
I appreciate.
Yep.
Thanks for the advice.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that, man.
Thanks, Garrett. Before we let you go here, look, we've talked a lot about Scotty and the leadership component with him this year and the growth. He has obviously missed the last couple games because the finger issues that he's dealing with. He'd been trying to play through that, shoot through that, dribble through that. He talked to Michael Grange last week and said basically he wants to be out there even though he knows the fingers are hurting his performance because my legs still work, and he wants to be out there. How meaningful is that, do you think, from a leadership component in an era where, you know, playing 60 games is considered a lot for Scotty, the face of the team, to want to be out there even hurt? How much does that mean for you guys?
It means a great deal. You know, it's the epitome of what leadership is, in my opinion, especially in the sports world. Understanding that you're hurt, but you're hurt in a position that you can still play and still help. And his understanding of team and the ability to fight through whatever pain he's feeling. Just sets the tone for what type of team we want. The toughness, the mentality, the you know, the focus on, not focusing on what we can't really do or what's hurting, but focusing on the things that we can do. You know, he's obviously shown what to do, what we need to do defensively all the time. And just, it's another form of his leadership, his growth as a leader, just understanding that guys are looking towards him and seeing what he's doing. And, you know, basically we had to pull his teeth to have him sit down, you know what I'm saying, for the next few games, to just let it heal, bro. Let it heal at the end of the day. We understand what you want to do and what you're capable of. So we know if it was up to you, you'd be on the court 85 games out of 82, you know what I'm saying? So it's great. It's great.
That's great. He is questionable for tonight, for anyone who hasn't heard that yet. There's 8 guys out or questionable. Are we getting Garrett Temple minutes tonight with only like 9 or 10 guys available?
You know me, I would love that. We'll see. I'll find out at walkthrough before the game.
All right, you let us know. Last home game of the season, so make sure everyone gets your Garrett Temple love in down at Scotiabank Arena later. Garrett, thanks so much for doing this, man.
Thanks, Garrett.
No problem, man. Appreciate y'all.
All right, Garrett Temple. Yeah, should be fun. Final home game of the year.
Ahmet needs to text him the address.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Ahmet doesn't text him. Yeah, we have to go through several channels. It's like a game of telephone, so... I will say this. I believe Garrett means it when he says it. I am extremely skeptical it'll happen on Monday.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll track his number down and just harass him constantly.
Yeah. Yeah. You got him on Instagram. Did he ever follow you back on Instagram after you followed him to when he got his new car? Remember you like made a point of it on the show? You're like, follow me back. Follow me back.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't looked. I mean, people who follow me on Instagram, I've posted a lot in the last 4 days.
Yeah, well, you're at the Final Four. It's
but
your birthday.
But I hadn't posted in a couple weeks. I'm hit or miss on Instagram.
Yeah.
But right now I'm on a hot streak, so yeah, I'll check
in. And you probably get another one on the weekend at the curling, I'd imagine, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Stay hot.
Yeah.
Stay hot.
Gator boy, stay hot.
There you go. That's what it was. I was trying to find it. I couldn't think of it. I had the Thomas Hawk one in my head instead.
Don't say that one.
You can't say that?
I don't know. You get canceled for saying that?
I don't think so. Anyway, people know what we're talking about, but I don't think so. I think you can still say it, but
I just assume any slogan coming out of Florida is cancelable.
That's a safe bet. That's a good guardrail to have, we'll call it. So Raptors in action tonight. Scotty Barnes and Jakob Poeltl questionable. Get this. Scotty Barnes has missed 2 games and has been in and out of the lineup dealing with an MCP joint contusion on his right hand.
I hate those.
Jared Roden missed several games with an MCP joint sprain. And Jakob Poeltl is now questionable as well with an MCP joint contusion on his right hand. I know it's basketball and everyone's fingers are probably sore at given times throughout the course of the season, but to have 3 guys on the injury report with the exact same finger joint is weird, even in the era where every team, like, they're not even making the injuries up because, like, Jamal Shedd is resting tonight. You know, you could just sit a guy down. You don't need, like, Jamal Shedd is a rookie and he's listed as rest tonight. You don't need to make this up. 3 guys on the injury report with an MCP joint.
Why? They had a team thumb war tournament?
Yeah, there you go.
Doesn't make sense.
They were arm wrestling over the top and one guy on the team is just dominating everyone.
For a tractor trailer?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
It was a great movie.
Yeah, terrific movie. And I was actually reading something about this yesterday. This is so off topic. Sorry. So that movie was shot at and based around an actual over-the-top arm wrestling world championship tournament. It was at the time like the biggest arm wrestling tournament ever. Do you remember Scott Norton from the NWO?
Yeah, obviously.
He was in it. Oh, he won.
My dad's best friend in the Army, Gilbert McNeil from Kansas City, was a national champion arm wrestler.
Nice.
Little guy, though, so I don't know if they have different divisions.
They have different divisions. They also had, so there was men's division, women's division, military division, and truckers division, and then the men's division had like subcategories for weight class.
Have you ever tried it?
Arm wrestling? Yeah. Not at like a competitive level. I've arm wrestled people. I've had beers at a bar before. Of course I've arm wrestled friends.
You look like you'd be good at it.
I don't know. Find out. We'll find out at the break.
I got bad shoulders. I'm retired from arm wrestling.
I don't know. All I know is that there are weight classes. I wonder if there's like length classes because like your arm being so much longer than mine.
Is that
mine,
good or bad?
I don't know.
I feel like it's bad.
We'll find
like
out at the break.
Bench press, like if you're longer,
you have longer
like Kevin
to go.
Durant
but
do
a- I, in this case, I have longer to push you. You have shorter to push me. So I think it might be an advantage for you.
But I feel like you have better leverage if it's shorter.
No, you have better leverage if you're above.
Really?
You can push down. Where I'd have to do a hook grip and come up and around on
you. To me, it's like bench press. Like if you have short arms.
Well, no, bench press, I agree for sure. You gotta, yeah. I got my little gator arms.
I don't know.
Bench press. I don't have to send it.
We need to
far.
Find, if anyone out there is a competitive arm wrestler and knows the answer to this, message the show, please.
Yes, that and batting cages. Let's take a break. Let's see what J.E. Skeets thinks about short arm bench press and over the top arm wrestling as the wrap the show continues with Blake Murphy and Matt Bonner.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Raptor Show. Blake Murphy defeated Matt Bonner in several arm wrestles during the commercial break. No, we got no answers on the arm wrestling.
You shouldn't arm wrestle on glass.
No, I would shatter it. That and your forearm.
Or I would shatter it.
Yeah, one of us is breaking an arm and getting lots of cuts through the glass. Let's see what J.E. Skeet's favorite scene in Over the Top is. He is of no dunks. He's in the Classics Factory right now. Skeets, how we doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I can't really speak to Over the Top, but if you want to talk about Rad, I can talk all day about the BMX movie from the 80s.
I don't know that one.
Okay.
Writing it down right now. I love those types of 80s movies. Like that 80s neon sign behind you is pretty sweet.
Yeah, the Classics Factory logo is...
The one that doesn't light up anymore because we had it on too much. Yeah.
yeah, you can't just change a bulb in a neon light, right?
No, they're quite expensive, Matt. But I just want to say about Rad, just to really sell you on it, there is a scene at a high school dance where they dance on bikes together.
Dance scene. I can't beat that.
Yeah. Only other sales pitch I have is that the main character's name is Crew Jones, C-R-U, right. Jones. So
loves wine. One of my favorite Nintendo games was Rad Racer. Remember that? 80s game.
Yeah.
I beat it.
Yeah.
I beat that game.
I believe it. And it has a lot of like Paperboy vibes to the movie Rad too, because he's sort of a paperboy trying to like win these races. Remember that video game? That was great.
Watch I do. Kids these days cannot relate to being a paperboy though.
No, the whole
generation lost for not having to wake up at 4 a.m. and deliver papers.
They will never know putting the flyers in the papers, loading up your bag, dumping half of them in a dumpster, and only delivering them to every second house. Sorry to the people of Cambridge, Ontario.
You have to go collect the money once a month. You have to go and knock on the doors and like beg people for money.
And the people are like, I only get my Cambridge Times one out of every two times. Like, that's because I dump half of them in the dumpster so I could go play. But
I had a super weird paper route in the hospital because I lived across from a hospital. So I actually would go and deliver it room to room. I'm not even kidding. And it was great when it was raining out, but otherwise, it was very strange. I was losing customers left and right, unfortunately. As a child, it was quite the...
You go to collect the money, and they're like, sorry, but he's not
Smith
with us
here
anymore.
Today. Yeah.
That happened a lot, Matt. It was, it was a growing experience, for sure.
Speaking of depressing ends to jobs we all held, Mike Malone got fired yesterday. I can't believe it's taken us 33 minutes into the show to bring this up. The Denver Nuggets fired head coach Mike Malone and GM Calvin Booth the week before the playoffs. We thought Taylor Jenkins getting axed by the Memphis Grizzlies with nine games left in the season was a lot. This one comes the final week of the season and the GM on the way out as well. Skeets, I know you guys just put a no dunks in the shoot here before you came on. I haven't got a chance to listen yet, but your initial reaction to that and as we sort through it here.
Yeah, I mean, like everyone else, I was very surprised, especially on the heels of Taylor Jenkins getting fired with the Grizzlies. Like, it's weird to see two, you know, respected coaches on fairly good teams still getting fired as we head into the playoffs or the play-in in maybe some of these teams' cases. It's just like, on one hand, I get the idea of like, we were going to do it anyway, so why not just do it now? I sort of get that because you have these very impulsive owners. Josh Kroenke, he talked about it. I saw a little video. Mm-hmm. He basically said, I'm paraphrasing, but he made it sound like if the Nuggets didn't have that 8-game win streak right before the All-Star break where they had a really easy part of their schedule, he probably would have been fired at the All-Star break because been a lot of turmoil between Calvin Booth and Michael Malone, and it's like, well, this roster construction's no good. Well, you're not playing any of the young guys. You're not getting them to play defense. Like, they were obviously butting heads. So I think he sort of – I think the team saved his job, so to speak, and we would have had a more normal firing at the All-Star break. But instead, they win those eight games, and then suddenly it's like, oh, we're actually not that bad, and we got the best player in the world, and maybe we can do something here. But – in the end, the Jamal Murray injury maybe plays a part, and Jokic's visibly frustration that he was showing on the sidelines at times, talking to other guys of like, sort of, what are we doing here defensively, and I can't do everything, maybe it was enough. But my initial reaction was probably like you guys, absolutely dumbfounded at the timing of it all.
And it makes you wonder what other changes are coming down the line roster-wise. You mentioned that I'm using air quotes, press conference, kind of.
Yeah, like 3.5 minutes weird... with Altitude TV, which I believe has the team has an ownership stake in.
But,
so, yeah.
But Kroenke kept saying, like, we think we can squeeze a little more out of this group, which makes it sound like squeezing a little more out of a group like is like if you're making fresh squeezed orange juice and you're like, I can squeeze a little more out of this orange, then the orange is done. Mm-hmm. Is like that what he's alluding to? Is that the metaphor? I don't know.
Which is not a good metaphor if that's the case, because you have one of the greatest oranges of all time.
Exactly.
Still in its firm ripeness in Nikola Jokic. Like you got several beverages left to go there.
And you look at the transactions under Booth's tenure, a lot of it was mitigating salary cap stuff. Yeah. So like how much is that is his fault? I don't know.
Yeah, they're a first apron team this year, projected to be a second apron team next year, the way things are going. And yeah, Booth, not the best track record, but some of these are tax skirting or, hey, we can't keep KCP. We got to go cheaper in that spot, et cetera, et cetera. So Skeets, let me take it this way with you. They won the championship less than 2 years ago now. Like we're talking 22 months ago. They won the championship. I believe every coach to win a championship over the last like 6 years, with the exception of Steve Kerr and Joe Mazzulla, has eventually lost their job, like within the 2-3 year window. It's the new coach of the year curse. What is the standard for evaluating the job a coach is doing in the league now? If Taylor Jenkins has a team overperforming and is in a playoff spot a couple weeks out from the postseason, or Mike Malone just won a championship not even two full seasons ago, they're third seed in the West at this point. How are we evaluating these guys moving forward?
I mean, unfairly, I think is the answer. There's three coaches that feel like they're grandfathered in, right? It's Pop, it's Kerr, and it's Spo. And everybody else, you are one bad season, one bad run, one bad maybe even press conference where you say a little too much and question your guys' ability and effort on the defensive end away from being canned. I think that's just sort of the life of an NBA coach. I mean, you're hired to then be fired for the most part, but it doesn't make the timing of it any less perplexing.
Yeah, that's the part.
That's the part. Like, no one would be all that shocked if Jenkins or Malone were fired either earlier in the season or, of course, in the offseason right around the corner. Nobody. I don't think anybody would blink an eye because there is that idea of, like, you start to maybe lose the locker room. You've been there too long. What you're saying isn't resonating, et cetera, et cetera. We get that. We get that part of it. Again, whether that's fair or not, we could argue about. But to do it right before the start, when you have, like, to go back to the metaphor of this whole orange and squeeze it out, yeah, you're right. It's like, you have Jokic. I'm sorry, you have a chance. You do. In any series, and maybe even obviously in competing still for a championship, if you have the other guys clicking. But they to me, are punting on this season. That I think what has happened in Memphis and now in Denver, to go back to our video game talk, I think this is a little bit of like a rage quit on the season. Like, oh, reset. I'm losing by 30, or I don't like my chances to come back in this video game. I don't want to play anymore. I'll just reset it. Because this is now both of these organizations get to go, well, what do you expect? Why would we expect to win a first round series or go far? Because we just fired our coach. I mean, that's a lot of change. Yeah, you did that. You made that decision.
Right.
But I do think it's like this like little, our hands were tied. And I hate that, especially in Denver's case, because you could still convince yourself, having Jokic and maybe a healthy Jamal, that they could compete and beat anyone in a series. But it's bizarre. And I think, again, it goes back to these owners getting younger. They are very impulsive. They think they're the smartest guy in the room, and maybe they are because they made billions of dollars to acquire these teams. And they just like, no, let's just swerve and try something else. And maybe it works, but I'm more inclined it won't work at all this year for these two teams.
Yeah, and I was always inclined to believe, but I'm even more inclined to believe lately that, being a billionaire doesn't mean you're necessarily the smartest guy in the room. It might just mean you found your way to some generational wealth.
It does mean you can do what you want.
Yes, it definitely
means
that's
what it means.
And, like, no one can fire Josh Kroenke, right? Like, if this doesn't work out and the new GM doesn't come in, they go get Tim Connelly back or something like that. The other thing is, like, the other way that you could have handled this is, like, you could have just spent into the tax. And I know they're a tax team this year, their first apron team. But, like, there's nothing stopping you from, hey, we have Jokic. We just won a championship. I want another one. Let's just get it done. Now, they're like, we see it's not a solution for everything. The Suns' magic number is 1 to get eliminated from even the play-in here. It doesn't resolve everything, but a little bit of that falls on you. So, obviously, the biggest thing about this, whatever you think of Mike Malone, and he's very well respected around the league, whatever you think of Calvin Booth and how much his hands were tied by some of these moves or whatever, Jokic is there. And like you said, Skeets, if you have Jokic, you have a chance. How careful do you think Kroenke and the Nuggets have to be with the instability that this shows and maybe ruffling the feathers of Jokic with the only coach he's ever had?
Yeah, I think you have to be careful, even though we all believe Jokic is like a Tim Duncan, like a Steph Curry, you know, like pretty even manner, even keeled, just like low key type of superstar, like a lot different than other superstars that maybe really want to put their finger on the direction of a franchise. He doesn't feel like that, but he also wants to win. Like, I mean, I've played in a charity game with Matt Bonner, and these guys that play in the NBA are psychotic when it comes to being on a different level of competitiveness. Am I wrong, Matt? I saw you dunk on a girl once in a charity game. It's like,
what? Is that Trey laughing in the background?
No, that's JD laughing in the background. He was there.
All I did was go and dunk it. She didn't have to run and try to make a play on
me. She should have made a business decision.
Yeah.
My point is,
I can't control what she does.
Yeah, my point is, to get to that level, they're not only incredible athletes, they are just a different breed of competitiveness. So yeah, Jokic of course wants to win, and that's why I think we're seeing these frustrations recently from him, of like this exasperation of like, what more can I do, guys? I'm putting up 61-10-10 and we can't close out this victory. Like, I'm sorry, that's got to be frustrating no matter how great a teammate you are and how much you love your guys and love your coaching staff and all that. So yeah, but what are the Nuggets going to do, Blake, is what I want to know, because I think they have like maybe one tradable first rounder, like in 2031. They have all these pretty fat contracts to guys that are good in Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon. Good players, no doubt, but like max type players, maybe not. That's maybe where you roll your eyes. And you also wonder, are they only really that good because they play alongside Jokic? That's part of the equation as well. So they are in a tough spot of trying to fix this team or pivot and get back to being obviously a real contender. But I say all that with thinking they were a contender 3 weeks ago. You know, I still had them in the tier where like, oh yeah, they could break through the Western Conference for sure. But I don't think that's happening now.
Yeah, I mean, if Murray's dropping 40-50 like we've seen him be able to do in key games. Yeah,
this is the thing. If your rotation shortens and suddenly, you know, the development of Julian Strother or whatever doesn't meander. Yeah, it's tough. And it's your point about long term. Yeah, all their picks are basically there. You know, you'd have to loosen protections on picks to be able to trade picks. They don't have a second rounder at this point either. It's tough. That's a lot of work to do when you probably want to shed salary to avoid the second apron and improve your team around this. It's a tough spot to be in. The one thing that could save them, so they could technically fall out of the playoffs here. They're only a game up. Actually, they're tied for 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. They're all tied. So they could slide to the play-in bracket, and then if they were to lose the play-in, they actually keep their pick if it's top five. So there's like a narrow, like 1%
chance.
Come
on, Blake.
I know. I'm just saying. That's the deus ex machina if you're writing the Nuggets the Nuggets thing here. That will not happen. Let's pivot to another team that's given us some insanity this season, Skeets. Luka Doncic is going to return to Dallas tonight to play against the Mavericks. We found out before we came on air here, and I don't know if you guys were on air and got a chance to see it or react to it, but the Mavericks have shirts that they are giving out that say, translated out of Slovenian, thank you for everything, as I believe the translation, or thank you so much for Luka's return. What do you think about this? The t-shirt to honor a guy you unceremoniously traded away a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that is a little odd when you think about it. I just want to know how long Luka's going to last in tonight's game before he gets tossed either trash talking or looking in the vicinity of an official. How great would that be if that happens tonight after what happened last night? It's weird. It's absolutely weird. You trade the guy and then now, you know, it is so strange that they thought they were not going to get the blowback that they did. I'm talking about the Mavericks as an mm-hmm. organization from their own fan base, let alone every other fan base going, what are you doing helping the Lakers and the return package and just giving up on Luka? What are you doing? But yeah, to really get like just dragged by their own fan base, it seems like they were shocked by it. Like they couldn't believe it. What else did you expect? But he's going to get a warm welcome. The fans love him. Yeah. They're going to be sending the message like, this wasn't us. This was Nico Harrison. This was the new ownership after Cuban sold it to him. This was not us, man. We love you. It's going to be weird for sure tonight.
It's very odd. It's you can't bet on this kind of thing, but I don't think, but I would bet on a fire Nico chant at some point in this game for sure.
Yeah.
What do you think about it, Matt? They we're giving a shirt away to thank a player, but like we're like a minute removed from you booted that player out and not only traded him, but like kicked dirt on him a bunch on the way out the door with all the leaks about like his his effort and his conditioning, all that stuff. Like they didn't. This was not a like guy left nicely or requested a trade or this was planned out. The shirt thing is rubbing me a little weirdly.
It is weird. Like, it's almost like just let the fans do it. You know, like as management, you're the ones that traded him. So for you to spearhead the thank you makes it weird as opposed to like it coming from the fans who are genuinely thankful and miss him or whatever. But I don't know how you do that. So like it's weird. I don't know. It's a no-win situation. Like, if you're the management and you do nothing, it's like, what are you doing? The fans loved him so much. Aren't you going to do something? And then if you do something, it looks disingenuous. So you can't win.
They put themselves in this position. You're right. If they did nothing, then they're doubling down on sort of being jerks to him and treating him like a franchise player, like a nobody. But then if you sort of what they're going to do tonight, I guess, I'm sure we're getting video tributes. I'm sure we got the t-shirts. Like, we're going to get that whole package. Then it's like, you're doing this, but you like traded them. Like, so what, why'd you do it in the first place then? Yeah. But it's their own fault. I don't feel bad for them. Like, it was silly. They're going to regret it if not already. And will the fan base ever sort of rebound and sort of forgive the guys in charge?
Not tonight.
No, not tonight. We can all agree. It sucks to have to deal with the consequences of your own actions. It's really unfortunate. Skeets got a couple rapid fire ones for you before before we head out here today, if that's cool. So after being investigated for finger gun celebrations, John Morant did a "I'm going to throw a fake grenade" celebration last night. What's next? What's the next? Like, is he driving a fake tank?
Bazooka.
What's going on?
Bazooka.
Bazooka. That's a good one.
Yeah, bazooka. That's a good one. You almost think he would have gone from finger guns to bazooka to then grenades, but he like skipped a step, going straight to grenade.
I'd take a bazooka over a grenade any day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If I was in a war. What?
Thinking you can dodge the bazooka easier?
Listen, if you and I were in a war and we started at opposite ends of a field and you had grenades and I had a bazooka, I'm winning. So I think it goes guns, grenade, bazooka. Bazooka's like the ultimate.
Okay.
It may be flamethrower after that.
Ooh, he could do that.
Flamethrower is close range, though. That's where you get in tough against a bazooka and a grenade.
That's a good
point.
You got
to get close where Skeets could be just lobbing grenades at you.
Yeah. I mean, bazooka can take out like a tank. Yeah. So that has to be the apex weapon.
So bazooka, we got that one settled. Skeets, on Twitter and Blue Sky, you've been tracking the NBA dunk score pretty closely this year. This is the first year we've had that. Shout out to John Schumann for that one. Biggest takeaway from tracking the dunk score this year, whether it's Shaedon Sharpe, Quentin Grimes, what do you got? What's your biggest takeaway?
It gets it right 50% of the time because I do share the highest dunk score of every night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the big ones, like you said, Sharpe, Grimes, you know, it obviously pops off. It gets the 100-plus score. It's ranked out of 120, not 100. That is always funny to me. But then there's a lot of nights where it's like, I'm convinced the tracking data is like it's screwed up or something. And, or it just like, it's counting a very normal dunk as like, whoa, the dunk of the night because of like distance or maybe where the defense is, again, how it sort of monitors all the players and the tracking. So there's work to be done. I am trying to like keep my eye on it. I've really committed to this bit of the NBA dunk score, but you know, it's year one. It's basically in a beta version right now. So, you know, maybe we'll get there.
Skeets, like 10 years ago, I came on the show and you guys had at All-Star and you guys had a dunk contest. I don't know if you remember that right. With like a lowered hoop.
I remember that.
Is there any way to retroactively plug that in and see what your scores were?
Wow. Well, thank you for bringing it up, because that was the dunk contest that I won. And you tried to screw me, Matt Bonner. I remember with your judging.
What are you talking about?
Oh, yes. We'll play the clip. We'll have to roll the clip.
I just keep it real.
No, I was getting knocked for weird reasons, I remember. But anyway, I persevered. I won that. And, despite dunking on a lower hoop, I'd like to think I had some air time, some hang time. So I think I'd score high in that. I think I had some power at the end of the dunks. I think they'd score pretty well.
Hell yeah. Yeah, okay. We'll run that back. We'll throw it to John Schumann, see if he can run it through the calculator or whatever. Last one. So we didn't talk any Raptors, but you're a Raptors guy. They are probably going to have the 7th best lottery odds. Who are you sending to the draft lottery to be their rep for the best luck on lottery night? Yourself?
Me, baby.
Are you lucky?
Yeah, you won a dunk contest.
That wasn't luck. That's all skill.
I've won six 50-50 drawings in my life.
Wow. Okay.
I'm serious.
Six.
Swear to God.
How many people were buying tickets? Like three?
I'm just very lucky at that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, then, hey, I'm fine sending Matt Bonner. I got no issue with that.
Send they already sent me and we didn't win it. So
my pitch is the actual
Raptor.
I had
my shot.
I think the mascot should go. I think the Raptor should be sitting on stage. They show all these very serious front office executives and then you got the Raptor.
Oh, I don't mind that at all.
Yeah. I don't know I don't think a team's done it before. So that's my pitch. Skeets, we got to let you go here, buddy. We're out of time for the day. Thanks so much for doing this, man. Really appreciate it.
Take care, guys. And thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Skeets.
Jay Skeets of No Dunks. Make sure you're checking that out. New episode up this morning that we haven't got a chance to listen to yet because they were doing it right before he came on with us. Time now for Fast Break, brought to you by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. We got Hornets at Raptors tonight at 7:30, the final home game of the season. It is a Sportsnet radio game. You will listen to that game streaming on sportsnet.ca or the Sportsnet app. It won't be on 590 because we got Leafs, Jays, Raptors, triple barrel tonight. So make sure you go to sportsnet.ca or the Sportsnet app to hear Eric Smith and Paul Jones on the call. Raptors are 9.5-point favorites, over under set at 217.5. And with a long list of guys potentially out, RJ Barrett is the high score man if you're looking at points over unders. Jakob Poeltl and Scotty Barnes are both questionable with their finger joint contusions. Jamal Shedd will rest. Go figure, a rookie. Ochai Agbaji will also rest. Jacoby Walters out. He's dealing with a hip flexor strain or tightness or something like that. I should have written that down. Brendan Ingram, Grady Dick, Oliver Tshomsheay are out as well. The Hornets are on the second night of a back-to-back, so we don't have their injury report, but they had no Ball, Green, Miller, Mann, Grant Williams, or Bow last night, and Miles Bridges was questionable. So on the second night of a back-to-back, we'll see there. Charlotte is 19-60, third last, two wins on either side, so they're probably entering the lottery with the third best odds, and they have done the opposite of the Raptors over the last 37 games. They're 7-30, whereas, well, not the opposite, but the Raptors are, you know, pretty good over that stretch of time. The Raptors, if you are looking at the lottery implications, the magic number is 1 on either side. 1 Raptor win or Nets loss means they can't get as far as 6th. 1 Raptor loss or Spurs win mean they can't get any worse than 7th. So some stakes there. That was Fast Break, brought to you by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Matt, how are you feeling for this game?
I'm pumped. Go Raps. Jamal Shedd resting his heart after that loss.
Tough one. Yeah, that's
Gators.
A spiritual rest, not
that's
a physical
right.
rest. Hornets and Raptors, 7:30 again. We have Raptors, Leafs, and Jays on the radio all at the same time. So go to sportsnet.ca and the Sportsnet app to listen to that one tonight. Thanks to Garrett Temple and Jay Skeets for joining us. Thanks to Ahmed Mond, Jake Scholes, and Austin Mackey behind the glass. We'll be back tomorrow to break this one down and kick around some NBA. So we didn't even get to mention Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 20 points for the 72nd straight game. Insanity. Have a wonderful Wednesday.